Last week, we started a sermon series just simply called Just Saying Truth, and we called it that just to establish some things, and the first thing we started establishing was this word no, and we live in a world where people don't know how to use the word no. They say yes when they should be saying no, and they say no when they should be saying yes, and I just want you to say it with me real quick. Say the word no. All right, so now to kind of recap, I'm going to give some of the points from last week, and I want you to finish off by saying no with me, okay? So we talked about saying something about our schedules. We say we're no longer going to, living an insanely busy schedule. We say no. To having hurried spirits, we say no. To impress people we don't like, we say no. To impress people even we like, we say idolizing our work, we say. No. Putting your family on the altar of achievement, we say. No. There are just some things that we need to say no to, and the world works really hard trying to get us to say yes to the wrong things. So I did ask you to maybe hashtag that just saying truth or just saying no last week. Did anybody get on there and do that? I thought there might be some no's. That's really a good place you need to be saying yes to. But a funny thing happens. When we hear the word no. Actually, if you were to put your head into an MRI machine and then just for a second had the word no flash in front of you, do you know there would be a release in your brain of a chemical that immediately brings stress? In fact, it even causes people to not communicate correctly. There's something that happens that impairs the logic just from a one little word no. And while we looked at the areas to say no, there are areas where what we really need to hear is yes. And that's what we're going to focus on today. It's kind of like, you know, going from, you know, the car that you hate to drive to getting into the car that you love to drive. You're going, yeah, okay, now we're somewhere good. Because I think that God did not make us to live on a diet of no's. He made us with this instinctual desire for yes. Because there's something that is powerful that happens when we hear or even when we say yes. I want you to think of it a little bit like this. When my children were growing up, there were times when I loved saying yes. When they say, hey, I want to go on an adventure with my friends, and we would say yes. We would like permission to do this. We'd say yes. There were times that they would say, can we do something together? We would say yes. One of my favorite yeses is when Brian, my now son-in-law, came and said, I want to marry your daughter. And I went, yes. Yeses are good. We like yeses. and there really is something in all of our hearts, in your heart, my heart, that wants to hear people say yes. When we hear people say yes, what we're hearing them say in those three little letters, we're hearing someone say, I believe in you. We're hearing someone say, you can do this. We're hearing someone say that there's something really precious and positive in you. And so we like that word yes. Yet we also know that the word no can bring hurt, has a way of wounding us. I know for me as a parent, and I don't know the number. Unfortunately, it's probably, I wouldn't say it's innumerable, but I've long forgotten how many times that I said no, not out of safety for the kids, not out of the best interest for the kids, but it was just stinking inconvenient for me. You get an awful quiet, but you know it's true about you too. There are just times we say no because it ain't about everybody else. It's just about me. And we get in this habit of saying no, putting a wet blanket, as it were, on the life of someone that's around us. When if we say yes, it would allow them to soar. It would allow them to grow and expand. And so I want for a moment for us to take our attention. And while we have all these earthly relationships that we've encountered that have said yes or have said no to us, when you think of God, What comes to mind? I want to propose that in a question to you this morning. When you think about God, do you think about God as having yeses for you or having no's in his heart for you? Do you think about the God of the universe up there shaking his finger at you, shaking his head at you with a scowling look on his face? Or do you think of God as having a resounding yes for your life? Unfortunately, for most people, they think of God as having a big no. And it's not even a shallow no, it's that deep no. So let's look at 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 1 for a few minutes. Paul's writing here, and I want to pick it up in the 17th verse. Paul says, "You may be asking why I changed my plan." And remember, he's writing this to a letter to a group of people, a church in Corinth. And so it's the second letter to them. And so he's, you know, he's been communicating with them and he's changed his plans. And he says, "So you may be asking why I changed my plans. Do you think I make plans carelessly? Do you think that I'm like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He's the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you, and as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says." Now listen to this next verse. It's so cool. "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding," say it with me, "yes." Say it again, "yes." "And through Christ, our amen," which means yes, "ascends to God for his glory. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything that he has promised us." Now, you may not write anything else on it, but I want you to take that blue piece of paper out of your notes. And somewhere on that piece of paper, I want you to write this number. It's an important number. It's an incredible number. It's an encouraging number. The number is 7,457. 7,457. That's how many promises are in the Bible from God to you. And they comes with a resounding no. No. It comes with a resounding yes. All of God's promises are yes and amen. So it's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. So if you're thinking about this God of the universe, which, by the way, is a very basic question, you know, when you get past the, is there a God? The question that immediately comes is, what kind of God is he? He's a God that says yes and amen. That means when you think, will he save me? The answer is yes. If you think about, will he forgive me? The answer is yes. Will he give me a new start? Yes. For the umpteenth millionth time? Yes. Will he give me strength? Will he guide me? Yes. Will he give me the ability to forgive someone who's hurt me? Yes. Will he be with me all the days of my life? Yes. Does he want me healthy and whole? Yes. Will he help me with my money so it works for me and not against me? Yes. Now, let me tell you something. Your yeses started here, and they started working down. Because we can look at our life experience and equate our life experience with the Heavenly Father. There's something that happens along the way that actually causes us to get a little bit clogged in this flow of grace from God to us. I want you to notice these four little words that seem to be so out of place in this scripture. It's found in verse 21. It says, "He has commissioned us." Now, if you're reading in like a NIV or the New King James Version, it uses the word anointed, which just seems to be stuck in there, but it's not. Because it's when we begin to walk in the purpose of yes, that this flow of grace to God from us begins to open up. The problem is we've not been commissioned to be the no people. We've been commissioned to be the yes people. If you're taking notes, again, the key understanding this morning that really I want to kind of unpack a little bit for a moment is simply that we receive and pass on all the yeses we've received. All the yeses that we've received from God are not meant to just be for us. Because if it was just a matter of we get saved and it's all about us, then get saved, get water baptized, and go to heaven. I mean, you know, Audrey, you should have came out then and out of the water and up you go. But actually, God needed someone to say yes and do this part, right? And there are yeses all along the way that God wants us to be saying. But I'm afraid we've become a little like this.
Photo printer. SD card.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No.
I could help you cross the street.
No.
I could help you cross your yard.
No.
I could help you cross your porch.
No.
Well, I gotta help you cross something.
No, I'm doing fine.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54.
Slow down.
Sweat Lodge 12.
Kid!
Are you in need of any
assistance? Thank you, but I don't need any help.
Ow.
Proceed.
Good afternoon.
Let's skip to the end.
See these? These are my wilderness explorer badges. You may notice one is missing. It's my assisting the elderly badge. If I get it, I will become a senior wilderness explorer. The wilderness must be explored! Go, go! It's gonna be great. There's a big ceremony, and all the dads come, and they pin on our badges.
So, you want to assist an old person?
Yep. Then I'll be a senior wilderness explorer.
You ever heard of a snipe?
Snipe?
Bird. Beady eyes. Every night it sneaks in my yard and gobbles my poor azaleas. I'm elderly and infirm. I can't catch it. If only someone could help me.
Me! I'll do it!
Oh, I don't know. It's awfully crafty. You'd have to clap your hands 3 times to lure it in.
I'll find the Mr. Fredrickson!
I think it's Burrows 2 blocks down.
If you 2 blocks down, got it! Snipey.
So oftentimes our Christian faith, our walk with Jesus, can be a little bit like that old guy. We tell no to the world who doesn't know how to ask for a yes. They just know how to go to the devil and go, oh, yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. And they get hurt and pain. But when we just say no, 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 or we send them on their way the wrong way, and then we go back to God and say, now, God, I need you to say yes to me. We miss out on such an important dynamic because he has commissioned you. He's commissioned me to show a world that thinks that there's this God that's just a cosmic killjoy, that they need to see that he's a God that says yes and amen. And that's our job. And here's the thing. The world, they're not going to throw their foot in the door. They're not going to keep trying. They're going to go on, and they're going to go through life just as they've always done it, trying to find someone who would look at them and say, you are important, you are invaluable, you are valuable, I care about you. And it all has to do with a word called yes. And here's what I want to do this morning. You have a choice to go yes or no on this. You don't have to tell me. Your actions before the Lord will say it this week. Take out your blue piece of paper. I've had you do this twice now. On the backside, with each of the next few yeses, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do an action thing this week. Very simple thing. In fact, each one of these yeses really would surprise you. But if you do them, if you choose to say yes in this very small way, in one or all of them, what you're going to find is that when you go to the Lord in prayer, you're going to hear him say yes a lot easier, in a lot more powerful way. Now, I listed the scriptures down in the bottom of your notes so you can review them later. But I want to start with simply the yes of goodwill. The yes of goodwill. Paul tells us that we are to encourage one another and build each other up. The yes of goodwill is less concerned with the political affiliation than they are the person. Because every time you interact with a person, now, for those of you that are big into social media, that's all fine and dandy, but every time you post something on social media, you are either building someone up or you are tearing them down. And if you use those kinds of things, whether in social media or in action, to tear people down, you are saying no to them. But when you choose to build someone up, to encourage them and to strengthen them, then you are saying yes to goodwill. All the teachers that I had throughout my time in school, going through high school, that is, there probably were only one or two teachers that I could really say gave me the yes of goodwill. One of them, his name was Mr. Ingram. He was a guy, my fourth grade year, that he constantly built up. And one of the ways he did this is he had rules, not unlike a lot of other teachers, that were just simply there was no bad language in the class. I didn't have a potty mouth, but he had two words that we were not allowed to say, that he equated it to some of the worst words out there. And the words were simply, I can't. He said, that will not be allowed in my class because you can. And so the whole time he was encouraging us and letting us know that we could do more than we thought was humanly possible for a fourth grader, however my brain thought at that time. He would take the time to listen. He would take the time to care. And thus, he built me up. The yes of goodwill doesn't try to fix another person. Okay, women, you can go somewhere in your own minds for a moment. Men, focus. Sometimes your spouse wants the yes of goodwill, not the yes of the logical answer. They just want to be heard. They want to be listened to. They want to be understood. And wow, do we need Jesus' help to understand? Right? But that's the yes of goodwill. And it's hard because we think that the yes of goodwill needs to fix everything and everybody. But a lot of times people just need to be heard. The yes of goodwill just says, I'll be there for you. If you've ever walked with someone through a tragedy of a death of a loved one, a child, a spouse, whatever, one of the hardest things to do is to be there and say nothing. There is nothing you can say that will help. But the yes of goodwill just says, hey, I'm there with you. My presence is all I can give you. And you know what? It's really all that they need. The yes of goodwill looks at a person and says, you know what? You're great. And I'm going to help you discover and find that greatness. Now, here's an action step. You can write this on the back of your blue thing. I want you to find someone, whether in person or on social media, and I want you to randomly compliment them. Tell them something great about themselves. And let me tell you something. You can find something about everybody in your life. You can find something. I had a preacher tell me one time, you could find the most ugliest of people, and they have good teeth. You can find something. But you're going to have to tune yourself toward focusing in on something. Maybe it's something they said. Maybe it's something they did. Maybe it's something you noticed them do with somebody else. Tell them about it. Don't look for them to do it back, but just do this yes of goodwill. You can do that compliment on Facebook and then hashtag just saying truth. You can also serve them in some way. We'll come back and talk about that here a little more in a moment. The second yes is just simply the yes of acknowledging people. The yes of acknowledging people. Now, this seems like a real simple thing. Paul says in a number of different areas, but one in particular, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. So we're going to practice that. Not. Some of you are going, sometimes it's just fun to watch the tension grow in the room. But the reason he makes these kinds of statements, which, by the way, that was a normal way to greet back then. It was customary. He wanted the church to keep this yes of acknowledgement mentality, because it's easy to get going through life and miss the people who are right in front of you. Last year in 2018, went to a conference in Cincinnati, and it was the African-American Assemblies of God National Conference. And one of the ladies that spoke, she spoke about when she was a child, what was customary for her when she grew up. She grew up in either Southern Alabama or Mississippi. When they would go to one of their family's houses and all the families would be together, it was expected as her as a child to walk into the room and greet every adult in the room. Now, when I was growing up, I was raised, you're seen and not heard. Okay, that's the way I was raised. Some of you might be able to relate to that. And what struck me was why they had a cultural family difference than I did. And the reason was that in those days, her family weren't slaves. They were the first generation out of slavery. And the first generation out of slavery, they weren't slaves. They were just paid to do the slave's work. And so the owners, the business people, never acknowledged them any more than when they were slaves. And so when a child walked into the room, the parent expected to be acknowledged. There was a desire to be acknowledged. I really believe that the world, well, there's a good portion of the world that doesn't care about being acknowledged. There's a good portion of the world that desires that you and I acknowledge them. And if that just simply means, as one of the things that I do when I'm at Planet Fitness doing one of my workout days, it's the simple guy nod. You know, guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes it's in Target or Albertsons that it's just simply eye contact with a smile. Now, this believe it or not, this doesn't come naturally for me, because when my kids were growing up, when I go pick them up at school, one of my kids is hanging out with their friends and I drive up to pick them from school, and he gets in the car and he goes, "Oh, Dad, it's so funny. My friends saw you drive up and they said, oh man, you're in trouble. Your dad looks mad." It's perfectly natural on this Vamproian side of the family to actually look mad wherever we go. It just comes out. So for me, I had to work on having a face that actually, so I'm sitting in the Safeway parking lot in Sholo, Arizona in my truck. And I'm going, I got to get better at this. So I get out of my truck and I'm walking towards the front of Safeway, and I just pleasantly smile at someone. And they gave me body language like I was a creeper. And I kid you not, man. They're looking at me. But it doesn't happen anymore. But at some point, I had to make a decision to actually have a face that actually was inviting with strangers. And now I know to look at people. Some people, they never look at you. Can't acknowledge them. They don't want to be acknowledged. But just like that little boy banging on the door, reading from the book, there are people that look at you and me, and they just want you to say hi. It's this yes of acknowledgement. So, your action step is you got to acknowledge people this week in a new and a different way. This is a little harder. I suppose you could like them on Facebook, but man, I think this is much better to do in person. Smile at someone and say hello. How are you doing? Hope your day's going well. Might feel a little awkward. But you'll work through that awkwardness. The next is the yes of making a way. And listen, we live in a world where people make their own way. That's the world we live in. And so, and it's no different. The way it looks is a little different, but it's no different than when Paul is writing the New Testament. He says these words, in humility, I'm going to say that again, humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Now, I don't have a lot of skills, but one of my mad skills is it doesn't matter if I'm going to DFW Airport and I'm approaching the toll booth area, or I'm walking in Albertsons looking for the shortest line, I've got the mad skill of finding the shortest line to the cash register, the shortest line through whatever areas. I mean, I'll go across four lanes to get to that one area that is clear and open because I'm making a way. But when you say yes to making a way for others, now you got to go, wait a minute. Maybe me being first in line isn't the most valuable and important thing. Even think about this way, that whenever you're around somebody and you get mad at them, or you're starting to get anxious inside, all that is your pride believing they should be doing what you want them to be doing. And Paul says, we need to get to the yes of making a way. Do you know there are people that they can't do it your way. They can't do it my way. They just need to do it their way. And here's the thing. Some of them need to just keep failing their way. We say, it's all right. You're still important and valuable. And when you find that it was another mistake, I'm going to be there for you. Not going to give up on you. And so what's the action step? The action step, well, for me, I'll probably let somebody in front of me in a line. In fact, I'm going to say this in front of all of you. You can come and hold me accountable next week. It's okay. I'm going to try to do that every time I'm in a store or somewhere where there's a line this week. Because, you know, I just got so many stinking things to do. I don't need some house mom with 15 kids with two grocery carts and coupons going in front of me. And here's, okay, so this might be a little soapbox, and maybe it's just therapy for me, maybe not for you, but for me. You know, I sometimes make a decision, I'm going to do the speed limit. I'm not going to get upset with the person on 820 doing 45 in a 60, and I get behind two of them. In humility, value others more than yourself. There are very practical ways that we can say yes to making a way. So I don't know what yours is. Mine's the lines. I'm not going to fully commit to the freeway because, you know, I can't go there. I just can't. Because with all these things, this is important. Start small. Because what happens when you start small and you start these ideas of yes, it begins to open up a greater flow of grace, not just to you, but through you. So start small. There's the grace that's, or the yes of assisting. The yes of assisting is simply serving someone. Paul said these words. He says, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. Could you just say those words with me? Serve one another in love. I love, by the way, this is since coming here, this has never been a problem for Bethel. When it's time to serve, whether it's a community event or in the church, you guys are always willing to step up and do what is necessary. It's a powerful form of yes that the world needs to see the church do. Now, the last word in there is love. And the word love is important to understand because when Paul says in love, love can only be expressed. Love can only be communicated through sacrifice. That's the only way love can truly be communicated. You know this if you're married, because you got the wedding ring and then you got the suffering, you know, because you find that in marriage, that in there, there's that saying, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to allow pain to happen. I'm going to sacrifice because that's what love is. And so when Paul says that you are to serve one another in love, he's not just saying serve, but you got to sacrifice something to do it. And so here's the ask. How many of you, in a place of authenticity here, how many of you can honestly say that between we leave church and next Sunday morning, you'll watch TV on some level? You'll watch Netflix, Hulu. Some of you are going, I'm not raising my hand because you're setting me up. I'm going to do it. I said at the beginning, you have a right to say yes or no to all of this, right? And it's going to be done in your actions. But here's when we began to talk through this sermon this week, we really felt like the place of sacrifice is to say no to one television show. So if that means that, you know, for those of you that like the half an hour sitcoms, do two. Okay, for those of you that like if you're watching Netflix, it's only 44 minutes because there's no commercials, right? So say no to that. And so when you say no to that, actually, maybe you need to serve your spouse. Maybe you need to serve your next door neighbor. Maybe you need to serve somebody else at the church. Maybe you need to mow someone's lawn, take them groceries, wash their car, you know, just call them up and say, hey, you want to go to Starbucks? Let's go hang out. And the whole objective is to serve them by listening. And rather than doing something for self, take that hour and give it to someone else. Now, what I find about hospital visitations, and I, you know, most of you guys all know this. I don't like hospital visitations because there's always a potential of body fluids. That's a bad thing. And I pray on the way, Lord, no body fluids. Lord, no body fluids. There is very little that I enjoy about doing a hospital visitation. But what is true every time is that when I turn and I leave, and I immediately put that stuff on my hands to get the germs out, there's something in my heart that wasn't there before I went. And sacrifice looks different for different people. When we've moved to a new house, and we just live in a neighborhood where people just are stopping by our house and introducing themselves. And one of my neighbors stops by, and he's telling me a little bit about himself. He lives around the corner, yada, yada. And I'm listening to him, and I notice that he has a bandage on his foot. And I should have let it go. But I didn't, because I wanted to acknowledge, right? And I said, so what happened to your foot? And he goes, well, he's a roofer. And he goes, I stepped on a nail, and it went all the way through my foot, and it took part of the bone with it. And this is where it gets bad. He pulls out his phone like I want to see pictures. Let me tell you something. I assisted him because I looked at him. And what goes on in between the years is a whole lot of stuff. And I'm like, that's nice. You know. But here's the thing. He walked away, and I walked away was something that we didn't have before. And it's this last one, and I want to take a minute and talk about this. It's the yes of joy. Because when you have the yes of goodwill, and when you have the yes of acknowledging people, and yes, when you have the yes of making a way, and when you have the yes of assisting, ultimately, you walk with the yes of joy. In the life of David, there's one story in particular that, you know, he's king, the kingdom is established, he's well thought of in the kingdoms and all these exploits. And now he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. As he enters into Jerusalem, it says that he took off his outward robes. He basically was wearing the outfit of a common person. And there's this parade that has the Ark of the Covenant and the priests and those that are carrying them. And he's in front of it, and he's dancing, and he's twirling, and he's shouting praises to God with all this joy. And up in the window is his wife, Michael, who's looking down at him. And as she's looking at him, The Bible says that she despised him in her heart. And it really is the tale of two totally different kinds of people. David, the yes person, that has this ever-increasing amount of joy in his life that is expressed through his dancing, is expressed through his singing. It's not based on, and don't misunderstand this, this yes of joy is not based on your circumstance, good or bad. It's not because life is perfect or you're young or you're old or you're smart or you're rich or any of that stuff. It's not anything to do with the fact that you've gone untouched by sickness or disease or sorrow. You may have all of that. But when you go through and you're saying yes, like David said yes to his enemies, as he did with his friend Jonathan and his son Mephibosheth, when he said yes to his children, when he said yes to the people of the kingdom, and he gave out cakes and all the things, when he lived a life of yes, what happens is your heart is overfilled with joy. And now, while there wasn't the 7,456 in David's time, I've got to believe he knew that all of God's promises for him at that moment were yes and amen, because he did not allow that grace to be clogged toward him, because it came toward him and then through him. But Michael, on the other hand, watch this, so important we get this. Michael, on the other hand, it says that she looked from her window and she despised him. And then it says the most devastating words. And she died having no children. Now, why is that important for us? Because the 7,456 promises, somewhere along the line, God impregnates you and me with them. And he wants us to carry them. And we carry them, eventually, the promises that we are given, it's given birth. And for the Christian who has the no mentality, who will not acknowledge people, who will not do the yes of goodwill, who will not serve other people, who will not think of other people more highly than they think of themselves, ultimately, don't get to enjoy the promises. They never give birth to the life that God wants to give them. And so ultimately, when they think of the God of the universe, they believe the God of the universe has a heart of no. When in fact, it is they themselves who have the heart of no. And I believe for some, today, God wants to change that. He wants to give us a heart of yes. And he really, really, really wants you and I to experience the heart of yes from the Almighty God. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you that you are a God that when your promises are spoken, it's yes and amen. Amen. And Lord, we come to you with a humble heart and first and foremost would ask for forgiveness. And church, I would encourage you to do this as well. Lord, forgive me for looking upon you and believing that you're a God that has a heart full of no's. Forgive me for that, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to be able to live a life of joy as we, this week, in all of these action steps, say yes. And I pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, that you would not let us get away from those yeses this week. That, Lord, when it's just normal for us to kind of get back to the rhythm of life, I pray that your Holy Spirit would remind us. In fact, if you want that this morning, just ask the Lord, say, Holy Spirit, remind me to have the yes attitude. Help, remind me to have the yes of goodwill and the yes of acknowledgement. Help me to have that serving heart that just says yes. Lord, I know that you will do that, because you are good and kind and compassionate. And Lord, I pray that as we are saying yes, that Lord, we will get to the end of the week and by your Spirit, we'll have, as Paul wrote, a spirit of revelation of the yeses that have come into our life and the ever increasing promises that you are fulfilling and are going to fulfill in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.